Thank you so much, BBS Radio. Good evening, good afternoon, good time of day it is for you when you listen to this BBS Radio show. This is as usual a simulcast. It is Wednesday. Is the 1st of November today? I guess so, huh?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, that's right.
Birthday. Welcome. Simulcast for a conference call. A bunch of people are on the phone line. Actually, not that many yet. But more people joined in. Welcome to the call. Please say a name and location.
This is Anna from Kent, Washington.
Hello, Anna. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you very much, and to you.
Thank you for being here.
Did you say it was somebody's birthday, hi?
My brother, yeah.
Oh, okay. Happy birthday to your brother.
Thank you.
Having a party?
He lives overseas. I'm the only one over here. Who else joined in? Good evening. Please say a name and location.
Positive greetings, hi, from Sedona.
Hello, Sedona Raiden. Good evening and welcome to the call.
Good evening to you, sir. Thank you for being here.
Equal with you, my friend. Thank you for being part of this. Everyone over here and everywhere. I think it is freaking amazing that I have ran into this like all of you guys.
Yes.
There's nothing else out there like this, I think.
No, nothing else.
With a group of people, you can talk to one another and interesting stuff. Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Good evening, you, Don. And
hi, Don.
Thanks. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Don.
Hi.
And welcome to those listening in online through BBS Radio. Now, welcome the next caller. Please say your name and location.
Helen in Virginia.
Hi, Helen. Good evening. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you for being here.
Coke. What's that?
That is Prudence. He's stuck at the airport and he cannot make it in time home or tonight's Whole Planet Healing Call. But don't worry. Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, it's Jane in Pennsylvania.
Good evening to you, Jane. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to the next caller. Please say your name and location.
John from Las Vegas.
Hi, John. Good evening to you. Welcome.
Well, hi.
Quiet tonight. It's what I imagine lying in the sarcophagus, the King's Chamber, the Great Pyramid must be like.
Oh, no. Because we're listening on the telephone and just not all quiet and dark and whatever. Looking for the light in the dark, huh?
John, the Dalai Lama had a saying, when you talk, you are only repeating what you already know, but when you listen, you may learn something new.
Exactly, yes. Wise man, of course.
What did you say? I wasn't listening.
Oh, say it again.
Okay, the Dalai Lama, and he said, when you talk, you are only repeating what you already know. But when you listen, you may learn something new. And when we go to the quiet, it's when we really get a lot of knowledge, a lot of spiritual knowledge. So I thought it was really neat.
Has anybody ever been in a one of those deprivation tanks, sensory deprivation.
Yeah, I used to have one.
Did you?
Yeah.
Ever have any interesting experiences in there?
Oh,
I've always wanted
good.
To have the experience.
Yeah, it feels really good. In a dark, floating in the water.
You ever see the movie?
So you don't have to know how to swim, right?
No. You put every
altered
in the water.
States.
Yeah. Well, I never
we had somebody else join in here a minute ago. Thank you for being here. Please say your name and location.
Hi, hi. This is Michelle in Cambria.
Hi, Michelle. Good evening. Welcome.
Hi. Thank you.
All right.
Where's Wynn?
Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Roger, Austin.
Hello, Roger. Good evening to you, and welcome to the call.
Thank you.
All right. I think Wynn is watching the Lakers. Is it the Lakers? Yeah.
You better give him a call.
I texted him.
Or the baseball game.
The baseball game.
World Series.
Good evening. Welcome to the conference call. Please say your name and location.
Hi, Devin, Oregon.
Deb, good evening. Welcome.
Hello, hi. And I'll cover the console early.
Say what?
I said I will cover the console.
For Purdy?
Whole planet.
Okay, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right. We had somebody else come in after Deb. Good evening. If you want to, please say your name and location.
Hi, this is Anna in L.A.
Hello, Anna. Good evening to you and welcome.
Hi, thank you.
All right.
Hi,
somebody
Deb.
Else joined in. Welcome. Please say your name and location. If you want to, we welcome you. So let me try Win his phone number. He probably took Terry out for a date.
Today is the last game of the World Series.
Yes, uh-huh. Game 7.
Yeah.
Win didn't answer. I'm checking with...
Does it being a day after Halloween have anything to do with
it? Yeah, maybe
I guess that's more like April Fool's.
So. Diabetic coma.
All right, let's see. I think I'm just going to play a recording. First, an interesting song to listen to. And then this is David Ball writing with Private Malone. And then I'm going to find a recording to play. Thank you all for being here. All right. The lines are still open. Thank you all for being here. It is Monday, the August.
He is a holistic medical doctor, but you are a medical doctor. You're not an alternative doctor. You're officially...
Right, I'm a medical doctor.
Friedman,
but holistically inclined.
Yes, and he is an expert at formulating essential oil formulas,
yeah.
Which, and he was one of the people, maybe the only person, I don't know, but one of the people that helped Gary Young start his company called Young Living Oils, which is a multi-million dollar, multi-level company, which many alternative health practitioners use as products. He was also one of the founders of the Holistic Medical Association, okay? And Terry Brown and I were sitting in the lunchroom last weekend at this event in Sedona. And Terry Friedman was across from us with this beautiful young lady, and he started saying some things. And I started jumping in and saying, wait a second, I didn't know who he was. I said, I'm an expert on those things. I think I was a little brash, but somehow we ended up having a really good conversation, and he came to my talk, and then he gave us two books that he wrote, and one of them was The Man Who Walked with Jesus, Tales from the Sixth Disciple. That was Matthew. And on the back of the book, there were some comments on the book. From one of them was from Gladys McGarry, who was the wife of Dr. McGarry, who was the most renowned Edgar Cayce doctor, I believe, in the country. Dr. William, was he William McGarry? Is that his first name, William?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, in Phoenix. And years ago, Terry and I were selling multi-level marketing vitamins, a product called Cernitine, and we actually came to Phoenix two times, and they used to do a show every year. Do you remember that?
Yes,
and we were there, and we had a table there. And, of course, I was very much into Edgar Cayce. I was excited to go to this show, and it was really exciting to meet Dr. Friedman at this event. And this is an incredible story, because he believes he was Matthew, okay? The Gospel according to Matthew. And I went on the internet earlier and looking for some quotes that were in the Gospel according to Matthew. And let me see here if I can see. Here we go. Yes, he's judge not, lest ye shall be judged. Your heart will always be where your treasure is. Now, Terry, that was actually you quoting Jesus, right? Those quotes, or were they from Matthew himself?
Absolutely. Said to me, you're just quoting me, and you're nothing but a scribe. I said, that's all right. I love to be a scribe.
Uh-huh. So you were writing all those things down, and then you put them in the Gospel of Matthew. You know what? I tell people, we're not going to believe that Terry was Matthew. We don't believe anything. We don't believe anything. We look for resonance. So we're going to find out tonight his story of how he feels connected to Matthew, and if he was, he was responsible for bringing forth some of Jesus' greatest messages in the Gospel of Matthew. Am I right, Terry?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So, as I was reading the book, I found out that you were a tax collector.
That's correct.
And Jesus discovered you and said, give up everything and come with me. And you did it. Or Matthew did it. And is that in the Bible that Matthew was a tax collector?
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
Why don't we start out by having you share, like, how you made this connection to Matthew.
Sure, why not? I was a practicing physician for the last 30 years. I was a medical doctor located in Scottsdale, Arizona. And I must say my life has been very, very unique in that I've had many unique experiences and I've got an opportunity to go to many, many countries and do a lot of traveling as well. So I've had a very rare chance to be, might say, educated, just as Yeshua. I call him Yeshua because we all spoke Aramaic at that time. We did not speak Hebrew or any other language. We basically spoke a tongue that is almost unknown now. It's called Aramaic. And basically, having done this, I decided that being an author is much more fun than practicing medicine all day long. So when I received a calling from him in 1995, he appeared to me and asked me if I would write a book about the true life that he expressed 2,000 years ago.
All right, Ben. The mic to you. Are you muted, Ben? Ben, I see your phone line, but I don't hear you. Yes, Terry?
Hi.
Hi.
Sorry, we thought today was Tuesday.
Okay. However, I do see Ben, his phone line. He's been on here for 2 minutes or so, but I don't hear him.
Yeah.
I was initially playing a recording from an earlier call with Dr. Friedman.
Yes.
But okay. Are you nearby, Wynn?
Yeah, let me go and ask him. He was going to see if there was questions.
Oh, okay.
I hear him talking.
You do?
Yeah. Are you talking, Wynn? We're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, we
can hear you now.
I was muted. Well, I blew it today. Okay. Terry said, what day is it today? And I said, Tuesday. And we've been proceeding.
No, I said, oh, good.
We've been proceeding with the whole day as if it was Tuesday, and I just checked my phone, and I saw that you called, and I said, uh-oh, and it's Wednesday. So hang on a second. Let me see if we have some questions. Okay. We have some questions here. Okay, we have some questions. We have, hang on. Let me just get them up here. Don Herman just has a big question mark.
Make up your own question. Or guess his question.
Okay. I got another question from Don Herman. Okay.
Okay.
Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person on the line. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth through our bodies and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us, and we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now, and do we have our sources present?
Yes. We greet you in the love light of the one infinite creator. We are from the other side, from the beyond the veil, and this is we're a combination of part of the Elohim and part of the Ra group, and we come to you in service to answer any questions that we may answer, and if we ever see anything that does not totally resonate with you, then disregard it. It does not apply to you at this time. We are not infallible, and although we have great perception, we think of one time when someone asked a question and they only gave their first name, and we spotted so many people by that name that we needed more information to be able to track their energy down, to be able to tune into them. So that is why we ask for the city so that we can further tune in, as there are many people named Susan in the United States. We do not refer to any particular Susan at this moment. But if you have questions, we are here to assist and to answer as we can.
Okay. First question is from Don Herman. And we were talking recently in a channeling. There was something to talk about the higher, middle, and lower selves.
Yes.
And Terry made a comment, or you made a comment, humans should seek a unified consciousness. Our
yes.
humans get into trouble without a unified consciousness.
Yes.
Could the sources speak more about how humans can unify their consciousness and what benefit this brings? Is it okay if I give a little answer of that from my own experience?
Yes.
Okay. What I get is there's a conscious self, there's a high self, and there's what some people call a basic self, or the self that is running your body, your metabolism, your survival, your hunger, things like that.
Yes.
And that the high self is kind of behind the scenes, but it's an overriding influence on the conscious self.
Yes.
So all those three selves operate differently. In fact, there's only one consciousness, which is you. And that to get more in touch with your high self, you have to start observing very carefully how it operates and how it impacts you. And you can do that because it creates patterns, possibilities, and that notice how that works. And as far as the basic self works, it's a similar process. Okay? It creates patterns, different kinds of patterns than the high self. And the conscious self is the mediator. You know, it takes in all the senses, it takes in all the observation, from your sensory apparatus, your eyes, your nose, your mouth, your taste. It says that tastes good. And but it's also intelligent and can observe. And say, for example, at one point I would notice for myself that when I let go and started talking and didn't try to control my speech, I got wiser than I normally get. So then I noticed that that wisdom, I deduced that wisdom was coming from my high self, and that to access it, I had to do thus and thus, and then it would work. So that's one example. But thank you for letting me share that. I'll turn it over to our sources, and I'm sure they'll make more clarification.
Thank you. Like if you start with the basic self, and then you see that it all works in synchronicity with each part. The thyroid needs certain ingredients to function correctly. It needs iodine to be able to function correctly. So if you have an area of the country like around the Great Lakes where there is no iodine in the soil, the thyroid can get out of control and a person might have a goiter from this function of the thyroid gland. Digestive tract needs to be working to feed the nutrients to the thyroid and the different parts of the body and the cells. And if it doesn't have the proper nutrients, or if it has a lot of pesticides and GMOs in it that kill the beneficial bacteria, it can stop giving digestion, which stops giving nutrients to the rest of the body, which can create disease from the lack of nutrients, and the person may not feel very well at all and get problems with the digestive tract. And drugs may be used, prescription drugs might be used, and that further it releases the symptoms but does not do correction of the root cause of what is the problematic thing to the body. So it's a well-functioned, unified effort to support the body. And when the body is operating really well, then that supports the mind, and the person has good memory and is able to be cheerful and to function well in the day. So let's assume all that is operating correctly. And if you have the mind, then that perhaps you have a possession occur in the mind where some spirit tries to move in and take over, or is out of sync with the rest of the mind and is causing a problem to the individual, then this can cause a non-unified mind. And there's all different degrees of possession. It can be very subtle, where something is out of sync. So the person thinks something, and they believe something, and then their mind comes in and it says something else, And so when there's conflicts in the mind, then this can create a non-unification. Now, the psych profession tends to come in and apply things like shock treatment, which submerges any dissension within the mind. And for a while, the person seems unified. However, it's not the root cause. It's not the answer. The answer would be to isolate the part that isn't working in sync for the rest of it, or agreement, and to release it, let it go its own way. They try to reunify everything or give shock treatment to make it all one, but it does not ever work in the long run, and the person ends up with this reemerging at some point. And then the high self is usually a font of wisdom, and that the person, the rest of all the bodies, can support that as a leader, as wisdom that floods into the system and helps keep everything in alignment.
Thank you. I think and he asked, what was the advantage of unifying these things? Well, you know, it's when all your bodies are working together, you become congruent. When you talk to somebody, they hear you on all levels. You are invoking your high self and your basic self. You have power. You can create things. You can get across to other people. That's my experience is. Okay, next question here is from Dave Morton in England. What is the meaning of bilocation? Can other people and bodies see you and hear you when in this state? When bilocating, would one remember the experience? I was told that I leave my body sometimes in sleep. Is this the same thing? I think leaving your body in sleep is more related to astral traveling. And astral traveling is a kind of bilocation, but you're not physicalized. And most other people, are not aware that you're present. You're invisible to them in the astral realm. I know there are people that tell stories of meeting people in their bodies, and it seems like they're in their real body somewhere. And spiritual masters have been said to be able to do this. So can our sources fill us in on bilocation? And Dave is probably asking the question, has he ever bilocated in his sleep?
Well, there, you brought up an interesting point. You mentioned, is it correct for the masters you mentioned? Did you mention
Yes. Masters
and they can actually appear in two places in their body?
Yes. Yogananda talked about a teacher of his that what he said was appearing in his body. Maybe it was an astral thing that he could see, but he didn't distinguish that.
Yes. Well, some masters have gotten very good at that, particularly some masters that have studied for years and developed this ability. Bilocation generally means that being in two places at the same time, And one can do that. And when one is anchored in their physical body, and then they astral travel and they appear in another location to the people at the other location, which is a form of appearance of manifestation of a facsimile of their original body, that you can be invisible or you can develop the technique of manifesting to the point that you are have enough of a projection that people can see, actually see you. So there's a range of ways of doing that. So bilocation means two locations at the same time. And so those are the range that we have mentioned of possibilities.
If somebody who's a master bilocate, does that mean in their second location, their body is solid? Like, in other words, if a doctor came up and put a stethoscope on them, would he hear their heart beating?
It could get, if a being got very good at it, it could approach that.
Yes. And if, can the service, is it possible for a service self being to bilocate?
Yes.
So, it's a very good way of tricking somebody if you're service to self, thinking that you're very advanced and getting them to supplicate to you. Yes?
Yes, yes.
So, because somebody does that, it's not, you can be impressed, but it's not a reason to necessarily follow them. Okay? All right, next question. And this is from Mark Edgara in New York. I don't know if I'm spelling your name right, Mark. And I have been following Lynn and Terry for a couple of years, and I decided to take a leap of faith and ask a question for the first time. I am at a loss of thoughts and words that I am communicating with the Council of An and the Ra Groups. From the Ra material channeled through Carl
Terry
Rooker.
Hold on.
Terry dropped off?
Yes.
Yeah, why don't I, she's in the room with me now.
Okay.
Why don't you sit down? Did your battery go dead? Okay. I'm just going to take that headset off your head, okay? And I have been following Lynn and Terry for a couple of years, and I have decided to take a leap of faith and ask a question for the first time. I am at a loss of thoughts and words that I am communicating with the Council of An and the Ra Group. Mark, thank you for asking your question. They're actually really, really happy to do this. I know from tracking this, they are so happy to be communicating to people in this realm. Well, let me continue. From the Ra material channeled through Carla Rucker, I learned that there is a war between the forces of light and darkness that is occurring both out of time in the metaphysical time-space dimensions and also here on Earth in our physical space-time continuum. The war on Earth seems to have been referred to as Armageddon and has been going on for some time. It seems to be a battle between the forces of unity and the forces of separation between those of the way that is and the way that is not. My question is, are human souls at the center and subject of this war on earth between the forces of light and the forces of darkness? And is it a war over free will and our choices? Thank you. Now I'm going to pass my headset over to Terry so she can bring in the answer.
Thank you. I have to go back and forth between this room and that room because to transfer the headset, I have to move out of the channeling mode. So I lost all the questions. So give me a minute. I have to get back into channeling mode. First of all, there is a war, and it is a war of service to self against the service to others. There's an attempt to move energy from service to others into covet for the service to self entities. They have a they're devoid of enough energy, and they have to get it from, in a sense, swiping it, or getting people supposedly on their side. They can't just go straight into the give and take of energy where they can get fulfilled from true service to others, exchange of energy. They tend to cut corners and shortcut to get attention to themselves. They can, some of them are very powerful, like Lucifer, and he can move in and promise the world and promise protection and make one feel like nothing will happen to them because they're protected, but then they lose in the long run because their energy is being siphoned off by Lucifer and his crew. Could you read the second part of the question?
My question is, are human souls center and subject of this war on earth?
They aren't particular. They are at the center, but also at the center are any group or being extraterrestrial, or they attempt to move into other groups, wherever they can swipe energy, wherever energy is available. So although humans are at the center, there are they are particularly interested in humans. If there's another way to get energy, they are on top of it. They are desperate to get energy because they are unable to get it in the normal service to other ways.
Thank you. One of the ways that I have understood this is that, and if we want to look at this as partially an answer to the question, is that to truly be service to others, you have to start to have some kind of connection to source inside yourself. Because we all need energy. We need something to reflect ourselves back to us. And when we have no energy, we get disturbed. We get aggressive. We get desperate. And service to self at a certain level is like that. So they need to get energy from others or they feel empty. And it works on the lower levels or the higher levels. The problem is, and where it cuts off, is that, you know, this is Wynn talking from my observations, where it cuts off is the fact that unless there's free will, the energy doesn't sustain. It's like people can be exchanging energy for their entire lives, like in a good relationship. And they can keep each other high, just the two of them in a relationship. But as soon as there's not free will, the energy doesn't sustain. It's just sustained so long that at some point it has a turning point where there's no energy. So a good example is a guy that needs energy from women who keeps going into relationships to steal someone else's energy, but it doesn't sustain, and then he goes into another relationship. And he wants a good, even if he wants a good relationship, until he allows free will, and to truly allow free will, you have to be able to leave the energy that the person is giving you and go inside yourself and tap into your own energy and your own connection with source. And then it's easy to give free will because you can move in and out of energy exchange and back into being self-reliant. And the more you do that, the more the other person does that. And even if one person does it, they start training the other person. And if you do that, you end up having a long-term relationship and more times of energy exchange, okay? Because energy exchange is beautiful in this realm, and you get a reflection back of your own energy or your own soul. What's that? Just means it's charging. It's okay. So when I had that cognition, that was an important distinction, understanding for me, to understand even myself, because I can go back to times in my life when I didn't exercise that, and I had my own, how shall we say it, hungers and cravings and needed somebody to fulfill them. But I didn't understand why it didn't keep sustaining. And now I know. So, you know what? At 6:57, I am so sorry. We have a question here from Edna. We have a question. We don't have time to answer any more questions. And Heis, you asked about Kate. And I don't know who Kate is. That's your daughter? Your daughter? You got to tell me things like that, okay? But if you can wait till next week, can you ask it again? Okay?
Absolutely.